Heavenly Father, you always amaze me. Let your kingdom come in my world and in my life. You give me the food I need to live through the day. Forgive me as I forgive the people that wrong me. Lead me far from temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. I look out the window, the birds are composing. Not a note is out of tune, out of place. Walk to the meadow and stare at the flowers. Better dressed than any girl on the wedding day. So why do I worry? Do I freak out? God knows what I need. You know what I need. Your love is strong. Your love is strong. Your love is strong. The kingdom of the heavens now advancing. Invade my heart, invade this broken town. The kingdom of the heavens, buried treasure. Would you sell yourself to find the one you found? Two things you told me, that you are strong and you love me. Yes, you love me. Your love is strong. Your love is strong. Your love is strong. Your love is strong.
Our God in heaven, hallowed be thy name above all names. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us weary sinners. Keep us far away from our vices.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
I like great evening, because it's great. Actually, you guys, you know what? I'm going to start off a little different tonight. I actually have someone here that has a short testimony. A short testimony that had to do a lot with what, you know, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you guys about yesterday, about choosing your friends wisely. You guys remember that? Or are you guys sleeping? If you remember that, let me see your hands. Whoa! Did you guys go to your dorm and pray last night? Can I see your hands? Oh, man, that's a lot. Praise the Lord. At this time, I want to invite some of you may know her. Her name is Gina. She's going to share a little testimony about, you know, what happens when she started hanging out with the wrong crowd. And also, what happened when she started praying. And that's going to tie in with the message tonight that the Lord has for you. So if I can invite Gina, let's pray real fast and invite the Lord's presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening, Lord. And we just invite your presence and pray and ask that you will please, Lord, be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
He was talking about the consequences of your friends yesterday. And some of the decisions I made, thank you, I had a baby, a beautiful child, my first child. But see, I started hanging out with folks I shouldn't have been hanging with. And I started going places I shouldn't have been going. And that pretty soon that beautiful child came second to everything else. And in the drug world, there's no place for family. There's no place for love. There's no place for a child. And so I lost that beautiful child. For 8 years. 8 years, I had to live with the consequences of the choices I had made of who I hung out with. See, when you put people who are not walking with Christ before Christ, you will fall. And even though I came to Christ years later, I still had to live with the consequences. And so did my daughter. And I prayed. Oh, I prayed. You want to talk about praying? Every minute of the day I prayed, and I cried. Because you think that when you come to Christ, it's all going to get better. But there are consequences. And you think if you pray enough, you show, you do what you need to do, it's going to all get better. But there are consequences. And God wasn't done working on me. And I had to learn the lesson as much as she had to learn it. And she had to see the change in Mom. So did other people. And 8 years go by, and I'm asking him every night, why don't I have her? But Lord, like that song says, I love that song, trust and obey.
Amen.
And every time I'm like, why, God? He said, just be still. I'm not done. But God, I don't want to hold on no more. He's like, just hold on a little longer. Just hold on. And there's nothing else in the world, just hold on. When you don't want to, just hold on. And I held on. And this July, I didn't want it this way. This July, her father passed away. And I got custody of her. Consequences. See, if I had lived and done it God's way, I probably would have been with her father and we would have been married. And he wouldn't have. She wouldn't have to live with two parents in two different areas. But see, there's another consequence to my choices. But God is so good. He's so good. Because here she is, this beautiful girl coming to Christ.
Amen.
And prayer. That's all you have is prayer. Please do not give up on prayer.
Thank you, sister. Powerful, powerful testimony right there. You see the consequences of when you hang around with the wrong crowd, people that's not going towards Christ, you get separated, and those type of things happen. But what saved her was prayer, and that's basically what we're going to talk about tonight, what the Lord has laid upon my heart. Let me pray one more time and just really ask for the Holy Spirit to really speak through me, because tonight is a very important message. So let's pray. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your presence, Father, because you say when two or more gather together in your name, you are here in the midst. And And Lord, this is a very serious message tonight. And I pray that hearts will be open to receive this message and that my heart will be open to receive the message that you speak. For this isn't just for them, it's for me as well, Lord. So please, Father, we invite your presence and your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does everyone have their weapons? Let me hear you say amen. Hold them up for me. Amen. Woo, you guys came ready. My sister, what's that called? Prepared. They all get $10, right? They came prepared. Huh? Oh. No. Let me tell you guys a quick story that has to do with my life. We've been going over the story of what? Jonah. And what did Jonah do? He ignored the word of the Lord, which was he ignored Jesus speaking to him, right? About a year and a half ago, this is when I, you know, wasn't walking with the Lord, but I had started praying, and I started asking God to help me. And it was about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, somewhere around that time, and I was fed up. You know, I was sitting in the car with, you know, two of these women that was working with me, and I was, you know, smoking my cigarette, and I was like, man, you guys, I really want to change. I don't want to live like this no more. I don't want to live like this no more. I want to change. And so, you know, I was like, you guys don't have to work for me no more. You guys can just do what you want to do. And, you know, we were smoking some marijuana, so they were like, man, this guy is high right now. He's saying that we don't even have to work with him. And so that's when I started really starting to pray. And I was like, God, I just need your help. Well, at this time, I was making a lot of money. And the friends that I chose to hang out with, they started getting jealous and envious of me. And I remember one day they called me over. See, when you're like in a gang or when you're involved, you still have to show yourself. You have to go around. You can't just separate. You got to still go around and meet them and go show your face and just be a part of it. But something that night, because I had been praying, was telling me, take some people with you. Take some people with you. So I had my friend Trail Mix. He was from Stockton. He's a great big dude. And that was his name. In the streets, you have silly names, right? And big old guy. He's scary looking, though. And I told him to come with me. He was a blood. And I was trying to show him how we operate because I was going to put him on with us. And I also brought my girlfriend and my cousin, Jerome, with me. And they said, oh, Mackie, I'll come through. Come through real quick. You know, we want to see you real quick. But I had this weird feeling. So as I'm on my way over there, I pull up. And how the apartments were structured, it's like a project, you know, to where you have, like, the front of the apartments is right here. And then there's a little narrow way right here with like a wrought iron fence. And when I pulled up, I seen a couple of them standing like outside. I mean, you got to picture this. You know, you see guys all black, dreadlocks hanging, gold teeth shining with guns on them. And so I get out the car and I'm walking with my people up to the gate, and they're like, oh, come inside. The police is coming. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't see no police around here. They're like, nah. Come on, Mackie. Come inside. And I see my one friend, and he's standing there. And I'm like, oh, what's up, bro? And I go to shake his name. I go to shake his hand, and he has a 9mm in his hand. And I'm like, oh, that's a clean gun, bro. Let me see that. And he's like, nah, man. He's like, you can't see this. I'm like, okay. So everything's starting to look weird. Then I see like five more of my so-called friends come out through the gate, and they all standing there. Usually, when your friends see you, what do? You're like, hey, what's up, bro? What's up? You like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't none of that. I mean, they had the meanest look on their face. They were standing there, and the other ones had guns too. What they were trying to do is they were trying to get me to come inside. But because the power of prayer, and because God said he will never leave me nor forsake me, you guys aren't feeling me on this. Because God was with me, he didn't allow me to step inside that dangerous area. And so I ran, I was like, I played it off so smooth, but it was the Holy Spirit. I thought it was smooth. And I was like, oh, man, I got to hurry up and get to the club, man. I got to hurry up. Hey, hey, hey. And I went to go call my cousin Jerome, but they had set it up to where they already took my cousin Jerome and walked him off. And they took my friend from Stockton and put him in the back. And they was trying to merge me inside. But I just took off. That was the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason why I'm probably still alive to this day. And so I remember all this pressure. We're looking at Jonah. Go to Jonah. We're looking at Jonah. I'm telling this story for a reason. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. But going up before that, we know what happened, right? Jonah was basically, remember we were talking about be aware of your surroundings? And then what in our surroundings is hindering us from the Lord? Well, the mariners finally got the point that we need to throw Jonah off the boat because that was the problem. And when they threw Jonah off the boat, what happened? They started praising his God, correct? So we see what happens is in verse 17, real quick, we'll go to 1:17. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, right, and 3 nights. Brothers and sisters, me, was in the belly of that fish. I was so lost. And I was, man, I remember driving in a Mustang. And I was crying to God. I said, God, I don't know what to do. I got my friends trying to kill me now. I got other people trying to kill me. I don't have nowhere to go. I'm strung out on cocaine. I'm strung out on marijuana. I'm strung out on alcohol. I'm living this dumb life. I want to get out, but I don't know how to get out. I'm like, help me get out. And I'm crying and I'm screaming like, and I'm talking to God and I'm driving. And then the next thing you know, I get off the exit. And I'm so emotionally like distraught that I make a wrong turn. And when I make the wrong turn, I realize I'm making a wrong turn. But when you're driving and you make a left turn, you can't drive halfway in the intersection and then back up and then go and make a straight. So the police pulled me over. And I didn't have no driver's license. And I was just crying, and the police walks up to the car and he sees me crying. I'm like, man, I don't have no license. Straight up, I told him, I don't have no license. He was like, well, we're going to have to tow your car. And I was getting into like a little altercation with the police. And he was like, man, I could take you to jail right now. Why don't you just shut up and get your stuff? I just shut up. I was like, all right, let me just be quiet right now then. But you guys, I was praying to God that God would get me out of the situation. Just like our sister Gina was praying, she didn't ask for her daughter's father to pass away. She didn't ask for all the things to happen in her life like that. But when you start praying to God and you start trying to pour your heart out to the Lord, the devil is going to be right there to attack you. And that's exactly what he was doing to me. And so the car got towed. I started losing stuff. I was messed up. And so look what Jonah does. He says he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And then it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. Brothers and sisters, when you pray, what does that mean? When you pray. When you pray, we enter into God's presence. When you guys come to United Prayer, Jesus Christ is right there with us. When you pray, the Bible says when two or more are gathered together in the midst, Jesus is right there. Brothers and sisters, check it out. I prayed. I said, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. Jonah said in verse 2, and he said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. If you feel like you're far away from the Lord right now, and you feel like you've gone too far, if you feel like you don't trust God right now, I've heard it from some different students, just talking to them. Oh, I don't know if I can believe God. I don't even believe that there is a God. My parents taught me this stuff. I don't even understand. God is real. You are looking at a walking testimony right now. God is real. And when you pray and enter into his presence, he's right there with you. Huh? He's right there with you, whether you want to believe it or not. And so, he heard my prayer, just like he hears all of your prayers. God is not a respecter of persons. And so, turn with me in your Bible. I want to bring out a point. Turn with me in your Bible, if you will, to Matthew 6:33. And when you get there, let me hear you say amen. Because we need to figure out, man, that's fast. Faster than me. You must got to memorize in your head. Because we really need to have a relationship with the Lord. We need to pray more. But how do we do that? The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Well, how do you seek God first? Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And we're going to see. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we're going to see how you do that. If you're there, let me hear you say amen. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So how do you seek God? By humbling yourselves and praying, right? And then what does it say he'll do? Well, you have to turn from your wicked ways. And then he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive your sins and heal your land. You guys, I was broken. I was hurt. I was miserable. My mom left me. I was out there alone all by myself. My friends were turning against me. I didn't have nothing to stand on. I didn't have two legs to stand on. There was nobody there. But Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so I really want to share something with you guys tonight from my heart. This is what God has taught me. We have to seek God, humble ourselves, and pray. Tiana talked about it this morning. You have corporate prayer, public prayer, and then you have private prayer. You have to have that private prayer. It's so important. That's the only way that we're going to be connected with the Father, because if we don't have that, we will not be connected to God. When you pray, how do you pray? Do you just close your eyes and look at the back of your eyelids? Do you pray in the darkness? How do you pray? I challenge you guys to do something when we pray. Have you guys ever prayed and imagined Christ being right there with you? Literally just closing your eyes and imagining being right there in front of the Father with Jesus interceding for you, because he's doing that. When you start praying, start imagining, walking around, you walking with Christ. I want to make prayer real. You guys talk about being real. Let's make prayer real. When you pray, start imagining you walking with Christ. Start imagining you kneeling before the Heavenly Father. Let's liven up some prayer a little bit. Let's stop just closing our eyes in the darkness. Or let's stop just opening our eyes, talking to our friends during united prayer. Huh? Let's take it serious. Because whether you guys want to believe it or not, Jesus Christ is right here. This is not about me. This is not about you. This is about Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We need to seek God first. We need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we've seen that if we seek God, how do we seek him? By humbling ourselves and praying, right? And if we do that, we'll stay connected to the Lord. Amen? if my people who are called by my name. You guys remember that scripture, John 15:16? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Jesus has called each and every one of you guys to go out and witness for him and win souls for him. Are you doing that? Ask yourself, what is your purpose? I was talking to a student the other day, and he says, I know I have a purpose here on this campus. I know I have a purpose. There are so many spiritually dead students. Why? Why would you be spiritually dead? The Lord allowed Jonah to go through these consequences to bring him all the way to the belly of a fish, to put him on his knees to pray. Brothers and sisters, we're spiritually dead because we're not communicating with the Father, with Jesus, who gives us life, who renews our spiritual well-being to be able to go out and witness and help others. Brothers and sisters, there's youth here, you guys, who have come from broken homes, who maybe lost their dad, maybe don't have their mother. Sometimes you guys get depressed. Sometimes you feel like, man, there's some students here who hasn't never felt love before. But if we stay connected with the Lord, we will be able to figure out that my brother Sam over here, or my brother Tim, or my sister Rebecca, or my sister Susan is having a rough time. And so as you come together in prayer for United Prayer, and then you have that intimate prayer session with the Heavenly Father, you will be renewed and you will be strengthened. You guys, I didn't really think prayer was real until God came through so many times for me, like the incident with the van. You guys remember that? When the spare tire wasn't in there, God heard my prayer. There was another incident, and this was a very touching one. Me and my friends used to do a lot of drugs, cocaine. We had ecstasy. We used to drink and buy these big old fifths of Hennessy, and we'd put ecstasy pills in them and shake them up and snort some lines, and then drink it. Do you know what that's doing to your body? My heart should have stopped the first sip. I was out of my, I was so gone. And I remember I was telling my friends, like, I think I'm about to die. And they was like, what? I had just bought a brand new car, all pearl white, white insides, leather. And I remember I had this girl drive me to the hospital because I didn't want to make everybody seem like I was tripping, like I was bugging out, even though I was. I was like, I'm about to die. So I told my friend, and I was like, look, just take me to the hospital. And there was a moment. I remember before that happened, I was driving, and it felt like somebody was pushing on my body, on my head, and I couldn't even focus. And I just remember just to pray. And so I was messed up. You guys, I should be dead right now. And so what happened was, the girl that was driving me, it was raining a little bit, and I looked over, and you guys, man, I was so messed up. My heart felt like it was about to stop, and I said, tell my family I love them, tell my kids I'm sorry. And I started to cry, and I said, tell my kids I'm sorry that, you know, I live this life, and please forgive me, and just tell all my family I love them. I'm about to die. And she looked over, and we almost got into a car accident. But then when we got to the hospital, we made it. We got to the hospital, and I was in there. Where was my friends? Where was my friends at? Where was my mom? Where was my dad? It was just me. Where was she at? She couldn't come in the room with me. It was me all by myself. brothers and sisters, you guys will be placed in situations where you're all by yourself. And if you don't have the Lord in that relationship to pray to him, I pity you. It's serious. And I remember being on the bed, laying down, and I thought I was just going to die any second. And I looked at the nurse came in, and I said, am I going to die? And she looked at me, because I had been there like 4 times previously, and she said, yep, you can die. And I was like, she walked out. Who was around me? Who was there? Amen. But I had to invite Jesus into my presence. Jesus is there. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. But I had to invite Jesus into my presence, if you guys can understand that. I had to pray. I said, Lord, I'm going to die. Please forgive me for my sins. Very dangerous to wait that long. That's called a deathbed confession. Very iffy. But I started to pray. I said, God, please, in the name of Jesus, please help me. I said, God, I'm about to die. Please forgive me for all the stuff that I've done. I said, Lord, I don't want to die. Please help me. And then I fell asleep. I could have been dead right there. I woke up to them saying I had a mild heart attack. And it's a little touchy, so it takes me a minute, kind of, because, brothers and sisters, I just really want to make it clear to you tonight that it's only you and the Lord when it comes down to it. It's only you and Jesus. Nobody else is going to be there. When it comes down to it, the only one that can save you is Jesus. Brothers and sisters, do you have a prayer life? Do you pray to the Lord? Do you really ask God to give you a prayer life? Because if you don't have a prayer life, you won't make it. You will die with no one around you. This is not a game. This is serious. It's showtime. We are in the last days, brothers and sisters. Tomorrow is promised to no one. The Bible says that. Lawrence didn't say that. The Bible, Jesus said it. Said tomorrow is promised to no one. When it comes down to it, it's just you and the Lord. Now, your girlfriend's not there. Your boyfriend's not there. Your mom, your dad. It's just you. What are you going to do? This could be your only opportunity. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. In 3 nights. And guess what? He gave in. Some of you might be in the belly of the beast for 3 days and 3 nights. I suggest you to give in. Because if you don't give in, you will be put out. Brothers and sisters, Judas. Jesus gave Judas. Who knows who Judas is? The disciple who betrayed Christ. Judas was living a life normal. What was Judas doing? He was healing people. Huh? He was feeding the sick. Huh? He was doing all that. Jesus gave him power to do that. Jesus' word will never return void. But where was Judas's heart? He wasn't connected with Jesus. He didn't have that intimate relationship with Jesus. He wanted to do things his own way. He wanted to walk and ignore the word of the Lord. Just like Jonah, just like me, just like maybe some of you here. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. God is looking for a youth that can pray, that can humble themselves and seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. And he promised you that he will forgive you and heal your land. God says that he will bind up the brokenhearted. No, he will heal the brokenhearted and bindeth up their wounds. Brothers and sisters, my appeal to you tonight from Jesus, not from me. Brothers, you guys already know, I've been asking each and every one of you guys to pray for me because I have no notes. The Lord told me, don't use your notes. This is from the Lord. He's appealing to each and every one of your heart. Pray. Pray. Take it seriously. Not just in united prayer where you have to be here. In your personal prayer, praying in the closet. That's where it matters the most. If you don't have it, I'm sorry. You're lost. Straight up. You guys talk about being real. If you don't have that prayer life, then guess what? You don't have no life. Brothers and sisters, you can't always have what you want. Why settle for less when you can have the best? And the best is Jesus. Amen? You can't always have what you want. Why settle for less when you can have the best? The best is Jesus. The best ain't what you want. My appeal to you tonight, let's take God serious. Let's take this prayer serious. You guys are old enough and are held accountable for your own actions. It's time. God is appealing to your heart, not me. The Holy Spirit is saying, look, do you have a prayer life? Are you praying to the Lord? Are you spending time with me? Because it's going to come a time at the end when Jesus' followers come up to him and say, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out devils? He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. You didn't spend no time with me praying in the morning. Your girlfriend was more important. You stayed up on the phone talking to her. Your boyfriend was more important than me. You sacrificed your time for her. Why don't you go ahead and be with her? Oh, but guess what? She gave her life to me, so you the one lost looking at her while she's in them holy gates. Brothers and sisters, when it comes down to it, it's just you and the Lord. It's you and the Lord now. What are you going to do with it? Take this serious because it's serious business. This is no game. This is life, and only Jesus gives life. So accept the free gift. Jesus came to die for you on that cross. So take advantage of this free gift and exercise your ability to pray freely. Amen. I encourage you and my appeal to you tonight, if you want to have a deep relationship with the Lord, and you want to get to know Jesus better, I invite you to stand tonight. Not for me. Before you do that, don't do it just because your friend's doing it. Don't stand because your teacher's looking at you. Don't stand because your mom might be here or your dad might be here. Stand because you want to stand for Jesus and get to know him. And don't stand and try to fake it. Stand because you want to be real with Jesus and start developing that intimate relationship with him. I invite you tonight, if that is what you want to do, if that is what you feel that the Lord is talking to you right now, or the Holy Spirit is talking to your heart, and you want to make that decision to stand, to have a better prayer life, I invite you to stand now. Amen. 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 Brothers and sisters, this is serious business. This is serious business. Jesus loves you guys. This is not a game. I have children. Make a difference. You guys are the future. Reach one and teach one how to pray. The commitment that you made tonight, if you're not really ready to stand and have that intimate relationship, sit down. Because you're not fooling nobody. God knows all. But if you're really ready to make that stand tonight, then I encourage you, start praying every day consistently. If it's 5 minutes, 5 minutes every single day. If it's 10 minutes, 10 minutes every single day. Make a commitment. Start praying by yourself. In your prayer closet, in secret. And what does the Lord say? He'll reward you openly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this evening for you speaking to us, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and for your love and for your forgiveness, Father, and for you giving us this opportunity to develop this intimate relationship with you. Lord, we want to start loving you more. We want to start knowing you, Father. Lord, we want to really know you, Father. We don't want to wait until it's the end of time and we come up to you and say, haven't we kept the Sabbath? Aren't we? We're vegans. Or, Lord, we want to come to you because we have that intimate relationship with you, Father. Because you know you. Because that's the only way to get to know you is by spending time with you. So, Lord, we thank you so much tonight for giving us this opportunity, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, we claim victory. Amen. You know what? I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. That's how you know it wasn't me. Let me read you a quote because this is very important. Listen to this. Remember we were talking about start imagining. When you guys pray, start imagining that Christ is right there with you because guess what? He's right there with you. It says right here, we may have no remarkable evidence at the time that the face of our Redeemer is bending over us in compassion and love. But this is even so. We may not feel his invisible touch, but his hand is upon us in love and tender pityness. Brothers and sisters, when you pray, Christ is there with you. Have a good night. Go home and pray. Or to your dorms, I'm sorry. And pray to the Lord.